Good morning, everyone. This is the Leafs Convo for Oak Ridge Ford in London, Ontario, oakridgeford.com. Things are moving off the lot. You got to get at me, at Norman Oak Ridge Ford, oakridgeford.com. Whether new, used, a truck, an SUV, electric, internal combustion engine, I have what you're looking for. If you're in southwestern Ontario, I have to be your guy. It's a global marketplace. Thanks to Oak Ridge Ford for all of their sponsorship. I'm telling you, I have your next car. It is Sunday, January 14, 2024. NJ in London, Mike in Buffalo. The Maple Leafs on a two-game losing streak, playing against real competition, getting leads, looking good, and then just falling asleep, absolutely exemplified their play generally last night at Scotiabank Arena against a really good Colorado Avalanche team. 3-0, the Leafs go up. And then the wheels fall off in the second and third periods. They lose 5-3, five unanswered goals from the Avs, Mike. Not one of the core four who does a lot for this organization scored last night. And, you know, if they get a goal from Nylander, another one from Marner, that might have been a different result. Instead, the Leafs have lost two in a row. Not the kind of losses you like to see. And then the Wings come in. They score a ton this evening. Let's talk a little bit about the last couple of games, Mike. We'll keep it short and just kind of continue with the Leafs convo on our Sunday spectaculars. Good morning.
Good morning, Norm. Let's start with the chronologically with the game on Long Island on Thursday, because it was a carbon copy of what happened last month. I wrote about it. December 11th, the only difference was they came back and tied that game late in the third on the Tavares goal and then lost in the first minute of overtime. It was almost like and they held on for dear life. The Islanders were pressing. It was 3-3. They got the point. And then 21 seconds into overtime on a faceoff, Noah Dobson sets up Barzal for a tip. He beats McCabe to the net, and they score the winning goal. Are you happy to get the point? Sure. Are you happy that you were up 3-1 in the second period after Austin Matthews scores a pair of really nice goals and you can't hold on to the lead? Yeah. And that's the problem. The problem is that when this team, you know, even when they get offense from their core group, you know, right, can they hold on to a lead? That the issue with this team, and it's like, you know, I know people message me on Twitter, oh, Mike, you're just so focused on the defense. Oh, yeah, because the defense is the reason why they haven't won. You look at the teams that won cups, you look at the teams that haven't won cups, and the difference is depth and quality on the blue line. And this team, I think there's some good pieces here. I like Lojgren. McCabe has played well. Simone Benoit has stepped up and been a top six guy. Morgan Riley's having a really good year. But overall, and it's not just the blue line, it's the entire team playing a team defensive game. And they allowed an Islanders team that is not very good. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs, but they're good because they have a great goaltender in Sorokin and they have a few good players. But they're not a great team. That's a team that you should go into the Island and at least split, and they lost both games. They, you know, gave up 2 points by allowing the Islanders to come back and then win it in overtime. And I think the common thread here, Norm, between the two games is the Leafs penalty killing. It has been abysmal of late. And honestly, you know, maybe they have to consider, you know, one of the things that they add before the deadline, if they have aspirations to advance in the playoffs, is to get yourself a penalty killer or two, because God knows if they don't shut down the power play in the playoffs, it'll be an early exit once again.
This is the Convo for Oak Ridge Ford in London, Ontario, oakridgeford.com. Norman London, Mike in Buffalo, OG's Converts. I see you, and I really do appreciate your interaction. It means a lot to me. Like the content, subscribe to the channel. Mike, the Leafs did what they had to do out west. Did they beat up on an injured team, spiritually in the San Jose Sharks, when in the past they would play down to that level? So that was, you know, one check in the box on behalf of the Maple Leafs and their progression. The Islanders, you say, aren't that great, but a lot feistier, a lot more determined than what the Leafs were up against a few days prior. Mm-hmm. And again, not wanting to lose to their former hero and former star in John Tavares and their, you know, rival, the Maple Leafs, on their ice. the Leafs just didn't really have an answer for it. And then, you know, against the Colorado Avalanche team that is super determined and just basically took over the game, you know, how can the Leafs mitigate that momentum swing? You're up 3-0. We all saw it coming. I even put a comment in community of the, on the YouTube channel that you knew this was going to take place, that the Avalanche were going to fight back. How do you mitigate that? How do you prevent that? What do the Leafs need to do to just kind of, you know, put their foot in the door and say, sorry, it's not happening this time? Does it come down to personnel? Because we've seen this happen over and over and over again. They have to make some adjustment and some changes if this is going to stop. Because every time the Leafs get on a bit of a run, they go and commit the same things that have caused them failure, and it really does temper the enthusiasm that the organization, the team, and the fan base is trying to build around this group.
Yeah, I mean, go back to the West Coast trip. They beat an LA team that was struggling, but it's still a very good team. And they played one of the best games of the year and got the shutout for Martin Jones. Then they get stoned by Lucas Dostal, and they barely win in overtime against one of the worst teams and one of the youngest teams in the league. And then they beat San Jose, which is the worst team in the league, twice. Okay, do I give them credit for winning four in a row? Sure. Do I give them credit for beating two of the worst teams in the league? No, that's what they should do. That's what they haven't done in the past, and that's what they should do. They lost to Chicago twice. They've lost to Buffalo. They've lost to Ottawa. They've lost to Columbus. I don't give them credit for doing what they should do. Okay, now they're up 3-1 on the Islanders, a team that, you know, they've scored better than they have in the past, but they're not a good offensive team. If you're up 3-1, if you play good team defense, you should be able to shut them down, counterattack, get other goals. They didn't do it. They allowed them to tie the game. They held on in the third period, and then the Islanders win in overtime. With Colorado, as you said, they get up 3-0, and then they end up losing, giving up the next five goals and losing 5-3. Did the officiating, which I saw people moaning and groaning about, don't get me wrong. I mean, you have to expect this if you're a Leaf fan. You have to expect that you're not going to get the calls. The team has to expect they're not going to get the calls. You have to fight through that. Okay, what can you they're up 3-0. They're rolling after 20 minutes. The only thing I can nail it down on is complacency. You're comfortable up 3-0. Georgiev makes an unbelievable save. I think it was on Holmberg, a post-to-post glove save. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, Colorado took over. McKinnon and Drouin and Rantanen, I mean, they've got a lot of talent on the team. Makar is one of the best players in the league. They took over the game, and the Leafs sat back. You cannot protect for a team like Toronto, who is questionable defensively, or, you know, the direction of the wind, the one day it's good, one day it's bad. What you have to do, your best defense is your offense.
But they're not the only team out there, Mike, and Colorado's one of the best clubs in the league. Do we chalk it up to the Leafs sitting back and
partially, yeah.
Or can we not just give credit to the Avalanche for taking over the game? They're that good.
Well, you can do both. I mean, you have to. Okay, when you're playing a team like Colorado, and you look at the upcoming West Coast Western Canada road swing, they're playing Edmonton, who's the hottest team in the league. They're playing Seattle, who's the second hottest team in the league. They're playing Vancouver, and they're playing Winnipeg, who's got the best record in the league.
So this could go pear-shaped really quick. I mean, that goodwill that was generated last week out west could completely be eroded going back out west in the days to come.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of challenges on this upcoming on the upcoming road swing before the All-Star break. They play Winnipeg home and home.
Right.
So, you know, that is very challenging. So they're going to have to step up their game. And, you know, the goaltending situation, which we'll talk about in a minute. You know, Martin Jones, I don't think he was at fault for the loss on Long Island. I mean, you know, do you expect him to have shutout after shutout? No, he has earned them points that I didn't think were possible with both their goaltenders, one with a high ankle sprain and the other one with a broken psyche. He's earned them points, but, you know, he can't be the only guy to be, you know, standing on his head. And, you know, I think maybe he let in one bad goal yesterday against the Avalanche, but they can make you look bad. I mean,
right, Mike, it goes second and third goals from the Avalanche to, you know, creep back within one and tie it respectively. The Leafs are running around in their own end. They just didn't. Right. There was no structure or anything like that. You were just waiting for one to get past Jones due to the fact that, you know, the Avalanche were, you know, had the Leafs on their heels, and it just didn't look like there was, you know, any command out there, because you could sense that the tide had turned, right? And this is what was expected considering the blueprint the Leafs generally use when they're playing these kinds of teams. Get a big lead, give it all back, and we'll see what happens in the dying minutes. This is The Convo, Brokerage Ford. Like the content, subscribe to the channel. We'll talk a little bit more about the goaltending and a few other things as we keep the show short, because there's a game against the Wings tonight and then the trip out west, and we have more content coming your way. I just want to get to a few OG and Convert comments. Matthew Tanti, I'm just going to roll through the mic and then you can make your comments. Good morning, gentlemen. Can we get Mike's thoughts on the officiating in that game? Mm-hmm. Can we blame Keith for this? Mike, I mean, you did mention the officiating wasn't great,
yeah.
but it's crying over spilt milk. We cannot, you know, rescind the results the day after due to the fact the refs or the officials did not make calls that benefited us or made calls that we figured were careless. It is what it is. I mean, you can't look in the mirror and go, you know, we would have won the game if there weren't officials out there. Wilfred Witzke, core four have no clutch. 09 Max, they don't have a killer instinct. Now that is something.
Well, okay. The officiating was abysmal. The cross check by Manson on Matthews should have been called. Mm-hmm. The referee apparently said that wasn't a cross check. Unless I'm hallucinating, it was a cross check to his rib cage.
Sure was.
And it was clearly painful for Matthews because he was winded and in pain. They're lucky that he, you know, probably wears protection on his rib cage. Otherwise, he'd probably have a broken rib right now. You know, the call on McCabe was ticky tack. It was, you know, the thing is, I mean,
it's happy McCabe did what he did. I mean, Liljegren gets slashed, no call. McCabe retaliates. He goes. To the box.
You can't take those penalties. That's the thing. You know, you get the flow of what's being called in this game. And in Colorado is not being called, and you are being called. How many power plays did they give up in the second period? I think it was three. And
so
they allowed.
What do we want then? If somebody takes liberties with our stars, like, again, what do you do in that circumstance? You just let it go. I mean, Liljegren doesn't have a call. On that slash,
right?
Is it is what it is, or, you know, we see that in the highlights over and over again, and what do we think to ourselves? Fuck, we don't retaliate. We don't stand up for our guys. Go back and get some retribution. Well, the result of that retribution is generally the officials are probably waiting for it too. Is that you're a man down, right?
Right. Well, what you do is you take a number. And you retaliate when the game, like if you're up 5-2 in the third period, then that's when you retaliate. Not when you retaliate when it's 3-2 and you take a penalty, or 3-3 and you take a penalty. Right. I mean the Cogliano goal came right after a penalty kill. They were running around in their zone. They couldn't get it out of the zone, and then Cogliano scores on a scramble. And you know, I mean, the Leafs. I mean, I think they knew if they responded after Matthews got hit, they were going to get called. So, I mean, the penalty, the officiating was a factor in both games I watched yesterday. In Buffalo, I was at the Sabres Canucks game, and Rasmus Dahlin got hit head high by JT Miller. And somebody jumped JT Miller after he did, and then somebody jumped JT Miller a few minutes later. I'm not saying somebody's got to drop their gloves, but I'm saying there's got to be negative reinforcement. But you got to pick and choose your targets and the time that you do it. You have to be intelligent about it. You can't just be emotional about it. I mean, we saw what happened in the Marlies game on Friday night. You know, Kyle Clifford, Imama, the player for Belleville. bumps into Dennis Hildeby, and Kyle Clifford jumps him, and they both got suspended for 3 games. Now, it's minor leagues, and does it really matter? No, but the guy stuck up for his teammate when he had a shutout going. You know, lessons can be learned from that, but you know, you can't have guys like Ryan Reeves, who's a dinosaur, or Kyle Clifford, who can't keep up with the speed of the league. You can't have those guys in the lineup. You have to have guys who will step up and do that kind of role at the right time and doing it intelligently.
So the Leafs have 50 points, 41 games. So they're on pace for a 100-point season. Not playing at the clip of some of the elite teams, but the Leafs are just on the cusp of being elite. There's plenty of time to make the adjustments, Mike. I got to think when we get past game 82 and get set for their first round opponent, we're going to look back and say the Leafs did what they generally do, right? We expect them to put up a ton of points and win most of the time. It's just the way they lose that still nags at you and still frustrates you. I don't see how we're going to see any real wholesale changes between now and when it really counts, due to the fact that these are the guys that we know. They're really good, and they've given us a lot of great hockey, much better than a lot of fan bases get night in and night out. Mm-hmm. However, if we can't look inward and as a fan base and discuss the things that we believe are holding this group back from taking that next step and being more responsible and being able to shut things down and to have that killer instinct, then we're in denial, right? We're certainly in denial. Mike, I don't want to belabor everything that happened over the last 72 hours. There's a game this evening. The Leafs can get it out of their system against the high-scoring Red Wings team. This is the return of Ilya Samsonov, is it not?
Not necessarily. We don't know yet. I mean, well,
that's rough. That is rough. Martin Jones probably needs a break.
Well, no. Sheldon Keefe said before the game yesterday, it's not going to be Martin Jones, but we don't know who the goalie is yet. Now he might be saying that because he's trying to keep the pressure off of Samsonov until the absolute last moment. He might be saying that because if he said Dennis Hildeby is going to be the goalie. Now, it hasn't been announced yet, David, so we don't know. There is no morning skate today. I would assume if they operate under the same MO, Sheldon Keefe may have an availability later this afternoon. I doubt they're having an optional.
This is concerning, though.
No, it's not concerning. Put yourself in the Leafs' shoes, Norm. If they put Samsonov out there and he gives up a bad goal, he's going to melt down, and then they can't put him back in the goal.
What I'm saying, this whole circumstance is awful. Like, you should be able to have two guys who are capable of playing whenever they're called, whenever they're tapped on the shoulder.
Right.
This is a Leafs team that fancies itself a contender in a pivotal stage of this season.
That's the misconception here, because their fan base believes they're a contender. The people who look at this team logically, They have too many flaws to be a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. They are not Florida. They are not Boston. They're not the New York Rangers. They may not even be Carolina, although Carolina's got some goaltending issues of their own. They're at best fourth or fifth in the East in terms of, did you consider that a legitimate? They're a dark horse at best, and that's assuming they make moves at the deadline, and they'd have no cap space, and they have limited assets. So, I will say this until I'm blue in the face. They're not winning the Stanley Cup this year, and I don't know how far they're going to go, but it's going to be as far as their core group carries them.
Right.
And if you base that on, Austin Matthews is pretty consistent. Oh, by the way, guys, in their two losses, who went scoreless? Mr. $11.5 million. That's who went scoreless.
Don't open up that. Look, when the Leafs core four doesn't score, it's generally not going to be a good night for the Buds. And the thing about last night's game is in the first period, the way the third line was playing, they were dominant. Yeah, and then Morgan Riley scores that incredible goal. In that 15 seconds, right, from the time he picked up the puck and split the D and scored that beautiful goal over Georgiev. You think, hey, you know, for a moment we can appreciate 44. Let's appreciate him. He was named to the All-Star team. He's had a really good, quietly, a really good year, right? Yeah. And could have been Morgan Riley winning the first star of the game and you know, kind of that play being the highlight of a real solid 60-minute effort against a team that is a contender. But to get there, you need one of the top guys who make all the big money and who's usually score the goals to come through when it counts, especially when you know the tide is turning, when the momentum is shifting, and you can feel the same things that have ailed you in the past happening again. We couldn't get one of these guys to rise above and save the bloody game. You're making that kind of money. There's a lot of expected of you. Sometimes that's what you have to do. All heroes don't wear capes. You know, they wear 88. They wear 16. You know, they are guys like Matthews. They are guys like Tavares. And sometimes they need to be called upon to show up. Again, they did not last night in a situation where they were needed the most. The result, a loss. And again, it's just in a long line of losses that usually mean that the top guys don't score any goals. And last night's defeat to the Avalanche was another example. Last word to you, Mike.
The problem is that Morgan Riley is an all-star. He's deserved to be an all-star before. They need two more Morgan Rileys, and they don't have them. And I'm not saying that some of the defensemen that they have on this roster are not good. They, you know, TJ Brody, I think in a perfect world, TJ Brody is playing on the second pairing. That's probably where he slots in. But because they don't have enough good defensemen, he has to play on the top pairing with Morgan Riley. That is not something that is going to be solved this season. So, you know, you can criticize Marner all you want. You can criticize Nylander like I just did all you want. Barring like everything lining up, they're not winning the Stanley Cup this year. What needs to happen is to evaluate the players that they have on this roster, like Knies, like Liljegren, like Joseph Woll, and see what you got there. And then Brad Treliving over the next year or two is going to piece together what this team needs to advance further. They've got most of their guys locked up long-term, except for Marner and Tavares. And, you know, that will be probably rectified this summer. But this is not a perfect team. They have a lot of flaws, and they have to be addressed.
Yeah. Donnie does dishes. Morgan is a 6D man on any other team in the league. Come on.
I'm sorry. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. We all knew that was bullshit. I just had to put it up there. Donnie's been really interactive today. I hate to say it. It is what it is, right? We could see it coming last night, and that's the frustrating part. You know it's coming, and there's nothing you can do about it. I saw a comment in the chat asking about those All-Star jerseys. I mean, I guess developed in conjunction with Justin Bieber's company. I don't know, Drew or something. I'm not the biggest fan of the look, but if my life revolved around the All-Star festivities of the National Hockey League, then I would have a say. I really don't care, so wear what you want.
I don't, you know, like what laundry they wear doesn't really matter to me. I'm not the biggest fan of the All-Star game. I'm very happy that's in Toronto, and I'm glad that Leaf fans will get a chance to see most of the league's best. Now, unfortunately, Connor Bedard got hurt, and Jack Hughes is hurt. So, I it's nice that there's an event. I may be covering it when it comes to town. I think that the NHL should go the way of the NFL and do away with the All-Star game. All-Star festivities, beautiful. Fastest skater, hardest shooter, all that stuff. But they're having flag football games now instead of the Pro Bowl. I don't know what the equivalent to that is, but it's pretty close to what they're doing right now. It's shinny. It's a waste of time, but they're not catering to me. They're catering to the kids. So anyway.
Buffalo Bills, like trying to play a football game. They've had a pretty good season, and then the weather just doesn't want to cooperate. That you can count on around this time of the year.
Well, funny thing is that the Bills may actually benefit from the delay, because had they played today in very gusty, windy conditions, it probably even the playing field for a team like the Steelers, who really have a subpar quarterback and are going to rely on their running game. Yeah, Spike, yeah, bite me. Now if they can actually throw the ball, then they should beat the Steelers, who, you know, got in the playoffs and give them credit. But, you know, now if they lose, then that, you know, that's typical Bills, because they've taken a page from the Leafs. They play down to their opposition this year, and they've beaten good teams. So we'll see. But it's not exactly pleasurable right now in Western New York, but when is it ever?
The two teams in the NFL that I want to see win, because I'm as indifferent as they come in terms of giving a shit about the National Football League. And hey, I was a sports guy for 20 years. It's just, you know, I can play football. I can throw a football. I love the game. I'm just not that interested in the NFL. That said, I'm always rooting for the Bills and quietly rooting for the Lions. Teams that really haven't had a lot go their way, especially the Lions. And every opportunity they get to do something of substance that's substantial, that is great for their fan base, who is or just as devoted as Leaf fans are to the Maple Leafs. You know, I'm rooting for a positive outcome, so I'll be doing that as a de facto or kind of a temporary Bills fan tomorrow when they finally do kick off. Leafs Convo poll, youtube.com/LeafsConvo/community. Do you agree with Mike that the Leafs aren't built to win a Stanley Cup this season? Mike, do you want to take a guess, the percentage for and against you on that question?
60-40 in agreement with me.
No. About 200 votes. Thank you for that, OGs and converts. We do appreciate your participation in our content. 78% say yes, they agree that the Leafs aren't built to win a Stanley Cup this season.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I'm glad we have a head on our shoulders. But, you know, when the Leafs do well and they go on a run and as fans, there's a little part to, you know, there's a little something inside of you that wants to believe.
Yeah, everybody gets infused with optimism. I get that. That's the part of being a fan. But, you know, I have been a fan, but now I look at things more logically. I look at things with a sort of a jaundiced eye, but also I think realistically, and I just don't see the pieces being there. When I do see the pieces being there, I will say so. But right now, I think they're short a couple defensemen and maybe a veteran goaltender from being a legitimate Stanley Cup contender.
Right. Okay. Well, the last show we did, the title, and I appreciate everybody being a part of that. The Leafs are in a happy place. Are you? Well, two games later and a show later, we're back into a position where we're just not sure. The goaltending situation is tenuous at best. You have the team trending back towards that big start and shitty finish. We're looking at the defensive group once again, and wondering, you know, how it's going to survive for the long term. The top players on the team who are paid to score every single night, when they don't show up, the team doesn't win. And another example of that was the loss to the Colorado Avalanche. That said, you know, we can stop thinking negatively if the Leafs go out and hammer on the Wings tonight. And Ilya Samsonov plays and somehow recoups some of his confidence and can backstop this team to a victory. And then we'll reassess things as we go forward and the Leafs embark on another Western swing, this time across Canada. Mike, anything else you want to add?
Yeah, the title of the show should be No Lead is Safe.
I'm fine with that. And really, that might just be kind of the summarization of this season and the Leafs in general. Veets, the Leafs are a 500 team. OG's Converse, thanks for all your participation, all your contributions. It means a lot. Like the content, subscribe to the channel. Mike and I will be back this coming week. We'll throw some shows into the mix as those late starts throw a lot of people and their schedules off. It's going to be some tired eyes in the mornings ahead. But, you know, that's the devotion we have to the team. And sometimes we have to make those sacrifices. For Mr. Augello, I'm Norm James. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy the NFL playoffs. And we'll see you guys in the next couple of days.